My name is Dennis Berger with the Berger Farms in Shiner, Texas. You listen to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
When it comes to the situation involving dairy cow illnesses in the Texas Panhandle, there's still more to be determined about the actual cause. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Senate Democrats have reintroduced a bill to reform the H-2A guest worker visa program. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
The latest USDA NAS report indicates that the U.S. hog inventory is up slightly. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have the breakdown on the numbers in my report on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now.
Gene editing holds great potential for the cattle industry, and one Texas ranch that's on the cutting edge of gene editing is the R.A. Brown Ranch in Throckmorton. Donald Brown says it's an exciting frontier to explore.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the gene editing front is exciting. We've got new things coming along on those fronts where we're able to edit multiple traits. You know, we've changed a couple of bulls from Black Angus to Red Angus, building an identical clone that was a Black Angus and now Red Angus. So we're excited about those things. But really the exciting part, Ron, of gene editing right now is how we can improve health. Health and wellness of cattle to improve survival rate, to help these cattle be healthier. What a huge advantage that can be to the industry, especially as consumers are saying, hey, I want to make sure that if I can get cattle without antibiotics, that I feel better. Even though we are judicious users of safe and healthy use of antibiotics, just like we are with our families, we are with our livestock. But if the consumer wants that, and anything we can do to improve health and well-being on these cattle and therefore make them more productive, I think that's a value that we need to pursue. And, hey, gene editing is going to give us some really neat opportunities there.
Brown says BVD prevention is currently the most promising area of improving cattle health through gene editing. A group of Texas lawmakers has sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken urging the State Department to take action to ensure Mexico complies with the 1944 Water Treaty.
According to the Water Treaty between the U.S. and Mexico, Mexico must deliver a minimum of 1.75 million acre-feet of water from six Mexican tributaries to the Rio Grande during a five-year cycle. In return, the United States delivers water from the Colorado River to Mexico. The letter from the 12 Texas lawmakers says they are disappointed in a persistent shortfall in the delivery of water to the Rio Grande Valley, water that is critical for agriculture, ecosystems, and communities. The lawmakers urge the State Department to take immediate and effective action to rectify the situation. They also request transparent communication and collaboration between the federal government, state government, and stakeholders to address any challenges hindering fulfillment of the treaty. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Texas corn planting has passed the halfway mark. The latest Texas crop progress and condition report shows 57% of the Texas corn crop now in the ground. 42% of Texas sorghum is planted, while 5% of the cotton is planted in Texas. Most are quick to point to avian influenza when it comes to the mysterious disease affecting Texas Panhandle dairy cattle. But James Hunt tells us there's still more to be determined about the actual cause.
It's been about 2 weeks since people started talking about a mystery illness affecting some dairy cows in the Texas Panhandle. Of course, we now know that HPAI, highly pathogenic avian influenza, has been detected within the affected herds. But at this point, while we can say bird flu has been detected, we cannot say it is the specific cause of the illnesses. Nicole Sheedy is the regional veterinarian for the Texas Animal Health Commission in Amarillo.
Right now, we're still determining whether HIPATH is the only factor causing the syndrome we're seeing, and we can't rule out that there is a multifactorial syndrome at this time, but we're going to rely on our data-driven diagnostics, which will be key to determining a better understanding of the situation and then also help with prevention methods and also to get a full picture of what's occurring in the cattle.
So when you say data-driven diagnostics, what does that term mean here?
That term to me means further testing as well as further epidemiological investigations, and that's going to help us get a better full picture of the situation.
So obviously there's still more to be determined about the current cases, but going forward, can HPAI now be considered an animal health concern that livestock producers need to prepare for?
I think it's always important to be prepared, James, but again, there's still more diagnostics and epidemiological studies that need to be completed before we can definitely say what is the causative agent of this. So we do know HPAI is playing a role. We just don't know exactly what that role is yet.
That's Dr. Nicole Sheedy with the Texas Animal Health Commission. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Senate Democrats have introduced a bill to reform the H-2A guest worker visa program. Jessica Domel has the story.
A group of U.S. senators led by Michael Bennett of Colorado has reintroduced a bill they say will help address the agricultural labor shortage in the United States. Bennett says the Affordable and Secure Food Act is a common-sense proposal to address the ag labor crisis that will bring certainty to hundreds of thousands of farm workers and lower food costs. The bill, which was also introduced in 2022, would establish a program for agricultural workers, along with their spouses and minor children, to earn legal status. Farm workers in the program could earn a path to a green card after 10 years of agricultural work. The legislation would also reform the H-2A Temporary Agricultural Worker Program by providing H-2A visas year-round jobs for the first time. It would also modernize the H-2A application process, create more wage certainty, and ensure critical protections for H-2A farm workers, according to Bennett's office. The legislation would also establish a mandatory nationwide electronic verification system for all agricultural employment. Bennett said if Congress does not act to get this done, more family farms and ranches will go out of business, more farm workers will continue to live with fear and uncertainty, and more families will continue to feel the squeeze of high food prices. Senator Debbie Stabenow, chairwoman of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, is one of the co-sponsors of the bill. She said the bill provides farmers and farm workers with long overdue certainty. The full text of the legislation is available on Senator Bennett's website. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Texas hog and pig numbers are down, but the total U.S. hog herd is up slightly. Tom Nicoletti looks at the latest USDA Hogs and Pigs report.
As of March 1st, there were 74.6 million hogs and pigs on U.S. farms. That's up 1% from March of 2023, but down 2% from December 1st of 2023. That's according to the quarterly Hogs and Pigs report published March 28th by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa is by far the number one hog-producing state in the country, followed by Minnesota and North Carolina. Texas ranks 14th nationally in hog production. Other key findings in the USDA NAS report include, of the 74.6 million hogs and pigs, 68.6 million were market hogs, while 6 million were kept for breeding. Between December 2023 and February 2024, 33.1 million pigs were weaned on farms across the United States, up 2% from the same time period 1 year earlier. Other key findings in the report show that also from December 2023 through February 2024, U.S. hog and pig producers weaned an average of 11.53 pigs per litter. In addition, U.S. hog producers intend to have 2.92 million sows farrow between March and May of 2024. As mentioned before, Iowa hog producers accounted for the largest inventory among the states at 25.2 million head. Minnesota had the second largest inventory at 9.10 million head, while North Carolina is in third place with 7.4 million head of hogs. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Please join me, John Begno and San Angelo, talking about early opportunities for gardeners.
And joint injections are one of the most common treatments for arthritis in horses. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildlife Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
We're the number one rated farm and ranch radio network in Texas. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
This time of year offers some early opportunities for Texas gardeners. Horticulturalist John Begno has more from San Angelo.
Well, it's finally another spring. You know, some of us were very anxious wanting it to get here. For some parts of Texas, it came a little bit early. And no matter what your situation is, whether it's a little cool or just perfect, early opportunities present themselves for gardeners. And we say that because some of the things we do right now have a definite effect on how they perform in the heat of summer. Let's take plants. If we're going to replace some of those that might have been killed by that brutal cold spell, or whether they just died over time, shrubs like woodies, trees even, it's not a bad time. It's one of the best times to plant new trees. These types of plants put in the ground early allowed the roots to establish into that native soil before it gets extremely hot and dry is very valuable. And also the quality of the material that we're seeing in the garden centers right now is usually excellent. So you have a good choice, you have good quality, and all the opportunities to put it in the ground. Also, those plants that are root hardy, like lantanas or yellow bells, things that if we protect the roots during the winter, even all the way up to Lubbock and north, we can plant them as early as they become available, get them established so those roots can tolerate that winter, especially if we cover them with some mulch or something to help insulate them during very cold times. Vegetable gardeners know that if you can get your tomatoes in and get them growing and blooming before it gets exceptionally hot in the hundreds of degrees, the blooms many times will not set. So it's a good idea to get those in the ground. It looks like by all weather forecasts that we're probably past in most areas of Texas a late spring freeze. And let's hope that's true and keep our fingers crossed. But I think this situation is going to be good for these early opportunities. One other thing is fertilization of trees. Remember that they make 90% of their growth on many trees in the first 60 days of spring. So what you do now in the way of watering, very good if you haven't received good moisture like some in West Texas, and fertilizing them now will help them put on a great canopy of leaves. Reporting from San Angelo for Texas Ag Today, this is John Begno.
Joint injections are one of the most common treatments for arthritis in horses. Dr. Bob Judd says some veterinarians mix antibiotics with the injection.
Equine joints have been injected for arthritis for decades, and many veterinarians add antibiotics to the injection. These antibiotics are used to prevent an infection, and this is a major concern as some joint infections can lead to severe disease and may even require euthanasia of the horse. Infections in the joints are incredibly expensive and difficult to treat, and this is the reason why many vets add antibiotics. Also a concern is many times the medication injected is cortisone, and cortisone is a great anti-inflammatory, but also can suppress immunity. So injecting cortisone in the joint could decrease host defenses and make the joint more susceptible to infection. Dr. Stacy Oak indicates in the Horse publication that researchers have shown evidence that some antibiotics are toxic to certain equine joint cells, including cartilage cells. Because of this, veterinarians must consider the risk versus the benefit of using antibiotics in these joints. Dr. Lynn Pezanite from Colorado State indicates the incidence of a joint infection after an injection is low. Although medical doctors do not routinely use antibiotics when injecting human joints, veterinarians are not injecting in a sterile or even clean environment, as some are done in the horse stall with flies and wind. However, one study indicated injecting joints on the farm showed the infection to be less than 0.1%, or less than 1 in 1,000 injections. It has been shown also that using antibiotics does not have a significant effect on preventing joint infections, except if the joint is injected with Adequan also. Factors that contribute to infection are using larger gauge needles, multiple dose vials, and lack of aseptic technique.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
After several days of trading lower, live and feeder cattle traded higher once again on Thursday as cattle supplies remain tight. April live cattle up 55 cents to 181.47. June live cattle up 25 cents to 175.85. August live cattle up 62 cents to 173.32. April feeder cattle up $1.75 to $2.42.70. May feeder cattle up $1.30 to $2.43.87. August feeder cattle up $2.02 to $2.54.47. Box beef was lower Thursday. Choice down $1.89 to $2.99.41. Select down 36 cents to $2.96.56. Now let's take a look at those livestock auctions. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Doug Bass, Cattleman's Columbus, how is your regular Wednesday sale?
Yes, sir. On your weigh-in cows, thin or lower yielding cows, 99 to 118. Medium type cows, 120 to 126. And your better high yielding cows, 129 to 148. Lower yielding bulls, 120 to 129. Better high yielding bulls, 134 to 158. Had a few pairs there yesterday. The pairs bring from 1150 to 2800. Red cows bring anywhere from 1000 to 2200. The calf market, like I said, looked pretty steady the week before. 2 to 3 weight steers, 310 to 415. Heifers, $3 to 410. 3 to 4 weight steers, 290 to 385. Heifers, 270 to 375. 4 to 5 weight steers, 275 to 350. Heifers, 260 to 335. 5 to 6 weight steers, 240 to 335. Heifers, 231 to 296. 6 to 7 weight steers, 235 to 278. Heifers, 210 to 268. 7 to 8 weight steers, $2 to 250. Heifers 198 to 230 and 800 to 1,000 pound steers and bullions bring 185 to 239. Heiferettes 168 to 212.
How many noses did you end up counting?
991.
That's a good count. What do you know for this next go round?
We got a couple, maybe a couple sellouts coming to town. I'm not exactly sure. We're still working on it, but I will let you know if we get them. Be some pretty good sets of crossbred cows. But right now, that's about all I know about. I would tell everybody that we are having a special sale there at May 25th. If anybody needs to put any cattle in that sale, give us a call and we can get you fixed up.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Doug Bass.
Yes, sir. My sale is now 979-877-4454. Office is 979-732-2622.
Doug, thanks for being on Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. Neighbor, I'm Larry Marble, your host. Thanks for listening to us every Monday through Friday. Good day.
After posting a one-year high on Wednesday, lean hogs traded higher again on Thursday thanks to strong demand. April lean hogs up 37 cents to 88.35. May lean hogs up 7 cents to 95.07. Barrel cheese was unchanged Thursday at $1.45. Block cheese also unchanged. It was at $1.44. Dry whey was up a penny to 39 cents. Butter price fell a penny to 2.93. April Class 3 milk up 5 cents to 15.47 a hundredweight. May Class 3 milk up 26 cents Thursday to 15.90 a hundredweight. After losses on Wednesday, we saw triple-digit losses for some contracts on Thursday in the cotton markets. Analysts say speculators are reducing their net long positions. May cotton down 184 points to 87.14. July cotton down 161 points to 88.57. December cotton down 58 points to 83.52. Higher U.S. ethanol production and a weaker U.S. dollar led corn to trade higher Thursday. May corn up 3.5 to 435 and a quarter. July corn up 2.5 to 447 and a half. September corn up 1.75 to 458 and a quarter. May hard red wheat fell 3 Thursday to 577 and a half. July hard red wheat up 1 to 573. September hard red wheat up 1 to 585 and a half. Pressured by lower soybean oil trade, soybeans fell on Thursday. May soybeans down 2.25 to 1180 even. May natural gas fell 6 cents Thursday to $1.77. June natural gas down 6 cents to $1.99. May crude oil rose $1.41 Thursday to $86.84. June crude oil up $1.44 to $86.05. Now let's take a look at the financial markets and see what happened over there on Thursday. The Dow fell 391 points Thursday to 38,736 as investors await jobs data. The S&P 500 fell 39 points to 5,172. And the NASDAQ fell 130 points to 16,146. Well, that wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this edition of Texas Ag Today. We hope you join us next time for the latest news in Texas agriculture. I'm Jessica Domel, and I hope to see you then.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.